Cool, we're recording now.
Well, I was going to try to do the same.
You want to?
No.
Oh, you want to do it?
No.
You don't want to do the intro?
No.
All right, what's up, guys? This is the Toasty Podcast, your political toast, which is the new title on all the podcast platforms. If you guys haven't noticed, I changed it just because, you know, SEO and blah, 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 things like that. Anyway, I'm Sky.
Yeah, I'm Maddie B.
We are the best hosts in town. This is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast in DFW and probably in the world, actually.
Definitely in the world.
Thousands of downloads a month. We are the people for this. So today we went over a lot of things, actually. We did a little bit of a reflection. Every podcast is doing it. So we figured we'd jump on board, but we also needed a little bit more time to reflect.
We're bandwagon people, aren't we? No, we're not.
No, we're not. I wanted to do this from the beginning, but from the beginning of the year, but lots of things have happened in my life, and I had not been able to do it. But with all that said,
here we are.
We talked about Biden's first year in office. That's the main thing we wanted to talk about.
Yep.
His absolute failures and atrocities, and we also talked about things that are happening currently, like a man that was denied a heart because of vaccination status. Yeah. All that and more on the Toasty Podcast.
Yeah.
Let's get toasty.
Wild monkeys in Pennsylvania.
All right, cool.
Dude, brother.
Dude, I haven't done a podcast here yet, so like I don't know how people are gonna be like, oh my god, it's so loud, or you know what I mean? Like I can hear conversations happening.
Really?
Oh dude, it's stupid how thin these walls are. This is like 1950s, right? So like people are having conversations and I'm like, bro, like I can make that shit out. I just obviously don't. I'm not like against the wall, dude. Like what are these Jones saying, dude? You know? Nah, dude, that's not how it is. Okay, so dude, check this out. My favorite game of all time, Fallout 3, right? Reason being, because I bought
Wi-Fi.
A PS3. Yeah, yeah. It's Toasty Creations. You can go to the 5 GHz if you want. Or it doesn't really matter. Whatever. Just one of the Toasty Creations.
PW?
Huh?
Password?
Oh, what the hell is that? Okay,
PW?
PW?
Give me the P-dubs.
capital F, Foxtrot 47. For everyone else in this apartment complex, that's capital F. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. What is so funny, bro?
I just, like, read, like, a little paragraph from this article. Like, no, not even a paragraph, but one sentence, and it just got me. Like, it just got me.
That's good. Now, dude, so
let me read you a quick, just two sentences. I touched the crates. I walked through their feces.
What are it's you going to read, bro?
It's a funny story.
All right, dude. Hey, I need you to give me some shit. So airdrop some stuff. Like, airdrop your article that you want to use for Wikipedia, the timeline or whatever. And with these mics, these are dynamic. So we're going to have to like
speak right into them?
Pretty much. Like, okay. You know, like they do with freaking SM7Bs. Or okay. Like they do with all the mics that you see on like Joe Rogan and shit. This is the same style.
Okay.
And so it's
he's always
be like
you gotta pull it right up.
Yeah, he's like, you gotta be right up in it, bro. Because that's what gives you the dynamic and nice, like sultry sound. So.
Sultry. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that timeline. I'm starting at January 20th because that's when he is sworn in, right? And then
yeah, we're gonna have to skip a lot or you know, go through a shit ton here.
It's not like it's not crazy detailed. But yeah, I'm just going to stick to Joe Biden did this, Joe Biden did that.
And is there anything good? I mean, I know that I've seen a statistic that he brought $17 million out of poverty because of the stimulus checks, but that's like a double-edged sword.
Well, I was going to say the thing is, he brought him out of poverty for a month.
Only to get inflation.
For a month, though.
Yeah.
Like, technically speaking,
income
was brought out, and then they just went right back into it, because people that are in poverty usually aren't very good with money.
Poverty percentage after... Before and after 2020? I don't know. Maybe that's it. Look, I'm just saying that I think that it was people were talking about this on Mind Pump and who else talked about this? All In podcast, which, by the way, if you haven't heard that podcast yet, you need to get on it, dude. It's a good podcast. Now, unfortunately, all the people on that show are Democratic, but it's because they're like CEOs and stuff. So there's five people on this podcast. They have owned several businesses, and they're all $1 billion net worth people. David Sachs, the only guy on the podcast that's conservative.
Huh.
But, dude, they get into some real shit, and they're not really biased. I'll be honest. One guy has feelings about, human rights, and he's, like, serious about it, and it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Well,
he's always talking about the Uyghurs and things like that, right? But man, they got some heat because one of the guys on there, an Indian dude, I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure his descent, whatever, his name's Chamath. He said, if you want to talk about the Uyghurs, like, I don't really care about that. He's like, that's below my priority.
Oh, I heard
line.
About that.
Well, that's the All In podcast.
Oh, you heard about that? Okay, yes. Oh, wow.
And holy crap, bro, he got heat because he owns the Warriors or half the Warriors or something like that.
Yeah, he's
an NBA
went
ham. NBA, of all freaking things.
Yeah.
Attacked him on, like,
and the Warriors
not going with
the Warriors
Uyghurs?
As a
bro,
franchise was like this. His views do not reflect that of the Warriors.
Yeah, but here's what he's. But the thing is that if you listen to the whole podcast, he explains why he said that. He's like, it's not that I don't care; it's that I can't. It's that if I say I care, I'm lying. Because if I really cared, it'd be a priority, and I could actually do something about
it. They call that walking that back. He just doesn't care. I don't think he.
Because his whole backstory is philanthropy.
Huh.
Like, he's done a lot of stuff. He's just like, there's no way I can do everything. I can't. And so if I care about it, I'm lying.
So it just came off as
it's
super
not in my. Oh, dude, he always careless. Comes off like that, dude.
Huh.
His whole personality is just very straightforward and kind of a dick.
Huh.
So he's already someone that would say, look, if you want to bring that up, I really don't actually care. And then he brings up the fact that, maybe the reason everyone was so mad about it is because it's true. That half the world doesn't really care because they can't
because there's too much
physically do it. They just can't. Not everyone was made to go overseas and help people or whatever. Not everyone was created to have all this capital to do that and to supply them with money or not supply them with money, right? One of the guy's points was like, well, I would just not, fund any businessman that's out of China. Or with any dictatorship or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy, David Sachs, was like, okay, but like a family that lives in Somalia or a family that lives in China that has nothing to do with this stuff and is just living there and they're a million-dollar business and they want to make business deals with you, you're still going to say no, even though they have nothing to do with it and it's not their problem.
Right.
And they may even hate it and they may even be trying to get out, but they can't.
Say
you know what I mean?
Think about it. A lot of Chinese people probably don't really like the government.
But
the people that even think about saying anything disappear.
Look at Alibaba.
Look at Peng Shui.
Think about saying something. He went to he was gone forever. No one knows where he went.
Yeah.
No one knows where he went. Came back out of nowhere.
Right.
And didn't say crap about it. It's like all of a sudden. It's like,
where do you think he went? He went to a re-education camp.
Dude, guaranteed, bro.
And that's where Peng Shui went.
Isn't that so weird?
Yeah.
It's not jail. It's actually not like, it's probably not even that bad. I don't know. But it's a re-education camp. Imagine.
It depends. It really depends, I feel like.
A red whip.
I don't know. I would imagine that it's like, you go there and if you kind of tell them what they want to hear and you just, you fall in line and you just, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and you just. Our leader is not Winnie the Pooh. He's the greatest ever. You just fall in line. They're going to kind of be like, okay, we're going to slowly send you back out.
But
if you're even slightly defiant, then they'll starve you. They'll give you sleep deprivation.
I see.
They'll torture you.
I see
they'll break
saying.
You, and then they'll rebuild you in the communist image.
I see what you're saying, dude.
So just, I think that's how it's probably done. Just because, how do you keep a billion people in line? Tough. Stuff work. So you can't just torture everyone or not torture anyone at the same time.
Well,
if you're going to be a communist dictator, that is.
I agree, dude. I agree. So going back to this game question you had, I just want to say, what I'm going to do from now on the podcast is I think we're just going to get right into it and have our conversations. And then I'm going to go ahead and if you want to be here and do that, that's fine. But I'm going to go ahead and do the intro after everything's done. Okay. Today we talked about this and this and this. And we got into this and Matt said this and blah, blah, blah. Let's get toasty. Well, I'm going to do that after. And if you want to be a part of it, cool. You can. And we can like bounce whatever on the intro. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do that because it's a lot easier to know what we talk about then.
That's smart.
And I don't have to like gear up like we're going to go live. If we're going to go live, I might do something different. We'll see. But anyway, by the way, that's going to be delayed because I have realized I don't have the necessary equipment to do it right. So that sucks. And it's expensive. Okay. The game thing. I actually have a question for you too on the game thing because you asked me. So, but Fallout. So I bought a PS3 and I didn't really play games. Like that wasn't really my thing. And, well, I did, but I didn't play like, you know, RPG games. You know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't do that. You know, my brother was always into all the freaking long story games. I was just into the freaking chunky little whatever, you know, Mario. Uh-huh. And, even though that's pretty long, couldn't get into it. Okay. Well, I think, and I had never played a game like Fallout, dude, that was based on real life.
Uh-huh.
That was like Fallout. It was a freaking, you know, America as we know it ruined. And I was like interested. It was weird. I read the summary of the game. I had never seen anything about
it.
And I just bought it and I didn't know. And bam, I'm hooked, bro. So all I'm saying is it was my number one game for the longest time. I did play 4 and I did play Vegas a little bit. Vegas kind of sucked. It doesn't really matter. But Fallout 3. So here's the deal. It actually made me realize that kind of stuff is like a lot closer to home than you think. Like it's actually possible. And that's one of the reasons I probably liked it so much, you know?
Yeah.
It just made me think, dude. And it's just like,
yeah,
dude, how the heck, you
dude,
know?
So what I've done like the past few months is I've gotten like really into kind of historical podcasts and I've learned a lot about the Cold War.
Yeah.
Dude, this world came so close. I mean, like, unbelievably close to annihilation so many times.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis or anything like that. I'm talking way closer. And it's scary.
I believe it. It's like, just like...
So you know what a dead switch is?
No, I don't.
So a dead man switch is basically like... Have you seen Terminator 2?
I actually have not seen any of the Terminator films. Bro, is that bad? It's not that bad. Okay, well, they're not that bad. They're
one
not
and two,
that
James Cameron, dude. James
good.
Cameron?
He's good. I'm just saying Terminator is not, like, to me, it doesn't seem like the classic.
What?
I don't know,
just
dude.
Stop talking. Stop. God,
I will watch it. Sheesh.
You need to watch them. They're freaking amazing movies.
Fuck. Okay.
God. Okay, so Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2 got paid, like, I think he got paid like $1.3 million per word that he said in that movie.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he had like 9 lines in the whole movie. In Terminator 1. And he got paid like $50 million in royalties and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it was a smash hit. Anyway.
That is insane.
A dead man switch is essentially if something were to stop transmitting. Like mm-hmm. It's an always on switch and then suddenly it stops. Then it automatically flips another switch. So let's just say this building has power, right? If for some reason this building loses power, the dead man switch goes off and something else is triggered automatically.
Oh yeah, okay, I know what that is. Yeah, I just didn't know it was called a dead man switch.
Right.
So a generator pops on, boom. Like a backup. It's a backup.
That
so, yeah.
happened, and it launched a nuclear strike in Russia, in the USSR. That happened. And
whoa.
The dead man switch just failed. It just didn't go off.
Wow.
But it was
holy crap,
it was
dude.
Triggered and a nuclear strike was triggered. Like first strike was triggered.
Well how what happened then? Did they have to kill it? Like how do they you know?
They,
I don't know.
The dead man switch just didn't go off and then they found out the next day that it had
Dead man switches failed.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Right. Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Who did it? I mean,
it was the USSR.
Just power or people, you know?
Yeah, was it a problem or a glitch? It was a glitch that saved the world. And then there was another guy, a Soviet, basically someone who would, it was a live man switch, right, for the same thing. Like, if he saw this thing on his radar that was a missile, he was supposed to just press a button and that would launch a nuclear strike. And he was one guy that could do it. And he sees this blip on his radar, and he's been at this post for a while, and he's like, there's no way this is real. There's no way. It's probably a glitch. And he waits, and he doesn't hit it.
I've heard about this story.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was, and he like waited, and he saved the world pretty much because he waited for that. Dude, I think you've told me that story before.
Yeah.
Anyway, holy crap, dude.
But yeah.
Okay, speaking of history podcasts, like, have you heard How to Take Over the World? Oh man, it's coming up. It's on the up and up. Here's what I want you to listen to that, because if you're gonna have your own show, I think you should do it like this guy does it, because he does a good job and he kind of talks like you and similar style. I will. His name's Ben, but he only has one sponsor right now, and he makes about $3,000 or $4,000. Well, I don't know for sure. He didn't give specific numbers. He's in the four digits a month for one sponsor. I'm like, okay, he has 100,000 listeners. So I'm like, well, okay, cool. That's great. But, you know, that specific podcast, I'm like, dude, that's, you know, I think you could totally do that. Because it's just him. It's no guests or anything. He just goes on. Like, this episode that I was just listened to was about Walt Disney. It was part one, Walt Disney. But he just tells the story. And he does it, you know, not even necessarily like entertaining. Like, it's just like he's telling this and he's going through his own way. And he's like, you know, giving his own little antidotes every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Huh, yeah.
Pretty cool. I feel like he probably is reading something, but it's not.
If I was going to do it like that, I'd have to type.
Yeah, for sure. But he can't tell. So like he probably separates the script out. So like he has to have spaces. That's what I would do. Whenever I read a script for a little while and it was like, in order to make it sound natural.
Right.
I had to like add natural words into the script, and like it made me think whenever I was reading it. So, and that made me stop. And not talk so fast, like I was reading something. Anywho, that's what I got to say about that. Today's freaking sponsor for the podcast is Silver Star Whiskey. It is over here in Fort Worth. They are badass, and we plan to do some live shows there. We'll see what happens, but the podcast is growing, and we are excited. And that's all I got for that little sponsor segment thing.
Sweet.
So, dude.
I can't wait to do a live podcast there. That's kind of awesome.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. So that's just what I'm just like, I don't know. I have no idea.
A little nervous.
I have no idea, dude. So I watched, have you ever seen Archive 81? It's a Netflix series, brand new Netflix, dude. It's so good. But here's the thing about that show. It's obviously like, it's like another world type show. So like, Stranger Things, there's another world, but it's a little bit different. It's not like tons of monsters and stuff. It's like these people do rituals, and they have forever, and this building is kind of haunted. Whatever, dude. Huh. Pretty cool show, and I don't normally watch stuff like that because I believe in that kind of stuff. And so whenever I watch something like Insidious or like with demons and stuff like that, I'm like, ah, crap. Like, I don't like it because I'm just like, this.
What about like,
you know, because like if you go to, I don't know, I've just heard too many stories, dude, from like Africa and things like that. I'm like, this stuff can happen.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to play with that. There's no way.
Yeah, no, I definitely think demons
you know?
Are real.
For sure. Okay, for sure. I think they present themselves differently in different cultures. So America doesn't see like what you think of classic demons.
But, yeah,
like,
I was going to say, I think modern America is blind to the demons. That
blind. Just completely
living
blind.
In our society.
For sure. Okay. So back to this Archive 81. They kind of play that off, right? They're kind of playing off that, right?
That's cool.
Whatever, dude. Point is, there's a freaking podcast in that show that, let me bring it right back around. In that show, it's called like Mystery Something. And he like does sounds and stuff. It's a story podcast. What it is, you know. And he is doing what I want to do. Like he's basically he's got this live show that he does every week, and these people are in the audience and they're watching. You know, of course they're watching an actual like story kind of thing. It's like he has actors and stuff. Huh. You know, but I'm like, ooh, interesting. It just kind of,
that's cool.
It's kind of weird because I was like, I saw it on the show, which means that it's a thing.
Right. Exactly.
And I was I thought
I would love to
live podcasting was new.
I would love to get a soundboard.
Wait, for like noises?
Yeah, like boing.
Well, Yeah, is that those are the specific noises you want? Boing.
I guess I can make those myself.
Oh yeah. Well, you do record them yourself pretty much. Anyway, we could don't do that yourself. That's weird. But I mean, like, record it in a button and we'll use it. But you know, I plan on getting that at some point so we can have that going. For right now, we are a boring old podcast. Yeah, dude. So it's a little late to be doing this reflection of 2021, but I think that
we need time gather our thoughts.
Oh, sure.
And really, like, look back.
Yes, dude.
I agree.
Plus,
it's the first podcast of this year, so we got to kind of have
a little retro. Oh, I love it, dude. I love it, dude. I'm so excited. But also, it's still January, so I think we're still good.
Yeah.
But all these other chodes, dude, they come out with reflection, like, in December. Like, the year's not even over yet.
Dumb.
You don't know. What could happen?
Betty White could die.
Oh, look at that.
Sorry. Debbie Downer over here.
Could die. She did die.
Or a Betty
she
Downer.
Did. Yeah.
Too soon. She would have laughed at that joke.
Yeah, this is also a comedian podcast, just so you guys know. We joke.
We put some levity in some serious things.
Okay, so anyway, 2021 is over, and we're going to talk about it. And I really just want to try to have an unbiased account.
Yeah, not me.
Of 2021 on what happened with Biden. Now, I understand, obviously, you know, it was a train wreck. But I would like to, like, think about these other presidents that have been president and what have they kind of done wrong. You know, maybe it doesn't compare, but it's always hard to do that because you have a lot of things change. Culture changes, you know.
Oh, of course.
And that's exactly why I have this up. Yeah.
I was going to ask.
So the reason I brought this up is because, by the way, guys, we're looking at the approval ratings for presidents. But the reason I brought this up is because I did not know where they came from. So, like, you know, I'm annoyed by them. I hate them. I can't stand them. Everyone's, you know, oh, well, the approval rating is that who, where did that come from? You know, and I'm always skeptical of statistics. I am because a lot of statistics you see are wrong, they're just based off of a thousand people group sample size, and they sampled only in one city, or they sampled, you know, only in this specific political group. Like, what?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
And
to
I've heard you need at least 1,400 for it to be like
a decent
sample.
But 1,400 even is, to me, I'm like, what?
That's still fairly.
It's dumb. A lot of these studies we see are now going to 2,000s, which is great, I guess. But my point in this is, it's as long as it's across the board, like. If I choose 2,000 people, let's do an eeny, meeny, miny, moe against each state or something.
Right.
So it's at least a little bit like.
Well, that's
normal,
why I like,
you know?
Real Clear Politics, because they take an aggregate.
Oh, we're going to get to them. Yes, I agree, dude. But the freaking presidential approval percentage came from George Gallup. And I looked into this a little bit. And, you know, it was like 1937 or some crap. The first president he did it on was Truman. So I don't know, but the thing is that he determined, okay, well, we'll get an average approval from people or whatever else. It still didn't explain to me how he did it, you know, because back in that time, what are they doing? Carriage ride?
Door-to-door surveys.
Okay,
well, Truman was president from 47 to 53, so.
Right.
45 to 53.
So now Real Clear and 538 are like the normal ones they use, like the two biggest news.
Why 538?
I don't know, but maybe they just were trying to get a right and left.
I guess.
News source. But here's the thing.
Leans right and leans left.
Either way, dude, they're the same. They're about the same for Joe Biden right now, right? This is approval, but it's not average. So this is approval right now, I think, at any given moment, because the averages end up being a lot different. Like, if I go down here to Wikipedia's page of historical Gallup polling comparison, you know, Biden's lowest sits at, here we go, 33, right? And you think, oh man, 33. Well, if I go to the average of, like, say Trump's lowest is 34, but his average is 41.1. So it's a little bit different. And I think they skew it. They go based on, like, ending, like when they ended their term, what were they at?
Right.
Not an average, you know, on this Wikipedia page. So that's why I pulled up the averages.
Yeah, the Gallup averages are going to be different than the Wikipedia averages because they're different. The Wikipedia probably takes an aggregate of all polls, or Gallup is just one poll.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. A good point. Yeah. And I just thought Gallup would be, you know, the original, but I guess maybe Gallup is just the news site. You know, it's not like a based on George Gallup. But what I thought was interesting here, just a little tidbit here. John Kennedy was the highest average approval rating.
Right.
Of course, right? Why wouldn't he be? He's the one that got assassinated.
Well, that's only during office.
I know, and maybe that's why they had a shorter term of office or a shorter time in office.
3 years. And
that's
2.5, really.
Well, that's still okay. I mean, I don't know. I just.
And the thing is, the Bay of Pigs was really early on in his administration, and he could easily chalk that up to poor planning on the previous administration, even though that's not what happened. Because it was Nixon's baby. Bay of Pigs invasion was Nixon's baby.
Yeah, but let's compare that to today. Let's compare that to Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's different because...
Is it?
The withdrawal from Afghanistan was executed poorly.
Whereas,
I mean, it has spanned 4 presidents.
Wait, I see what you're saying. Well, I guess I see what you're saying. It's longer term. It's happened for the longer term. But I think that people... I don't know, dude. The cycle is just like insane how quick it is. That's all I'm trying to say.
The news cycle?
Yeah. I don't think Biden didn't even blame anybody. Did he? Did he even say it was Trump's fault? I haven't even heard him say that. I'm just saying like it was so fast that he was like,
he,
oh crap. And then it's over and it's gone and it's old news already.
Yeah.
And no one even heard an apology or no one even heard, hey, Trump definitely did that. And if he did say it, he said it maybe once and it wasn't like the news pushed it. It wasn't like Russiagate, you know?
Yeah, well, even the media,
weird.
Even the media kind of held him accountable, especially after the drone strike that killed, well, like, I can't remember.
17?
Wasn't that many.
I thought it, okay,
I think it was 10 and 7 children, something like that. Maybe 10, maybe 7 and 4 kids, something like that, but.
Dozens, okay, hold on, let's see. Killed 17 on day, see, I knew.
No,
it's
not the Ethiopian.
Oh, it's not? Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Dang, dude. Okay. All right. Well, whatever.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
It's just botched in every way, and no one was held accountable. I mean, we lost 13 servicemen because of a bombing because they let all of the prisoners out of the... Oh, gosh. I can't remember the prison. I can't remember the prison in Afghanistan right now, but they let all the prisoners out. And one of the prisoners was that suicide bomber that went and killed. So it was directly because of his actions.
Yeah.
That 13
men and
women were killed. And dozens and dozens more, scores more, were injured and maimed forever. So.
I mean, talk about that more. So it was one guy and 7 children. So innocent aid worker and 7 children. Just to tell the audience real quick. Okay.
And no one was held accountable for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the U.S. Sun who listens to that.
They said, whoops, and moved on.
Right. Crap, I need to go back to that, don't I? We need to start saving
keep your tabs open, bro.
Whatever. We need to start saving our tabs because I want to let you guys see the articles when we have them up, if we put this on YouTube, for you guys to view it just to help you out.
So what were you going to say about the historical,
what?
Historical approval ratings and stuff.
Oh, I was going to say the lowest ones. So I wanted to kind of talk about, so whenever I told you earlier, I said, hey, I want to talk about presidents that have done something similar, right? I'm not the guy that'll know, but I gathered up the lowest approval ratings for presidents. So which ones had the lowest approval ratings? It's Nixon.
Jimmy Carter.
So I went from the lowest up, and they're not necessarily in chronological order.
Well.
So Nixon had 24.
Well, at the end of his presidency?
Yeah. Well, here,
when he resigned, he was in the low 20s, yeah.
But, yeah, this is 1974.
Exactly.
085, yeah.
That's when he resigned, but most of his presidency, because he was president from 1969 until 1974 when he resigned.
Okay.
He was reelected in a huge landslide in 72.
So highest approval was 67 for him in 1973. So, I mean, that's 1 year difference, and it went from 67 to 24. I guess... I see what you're saying. It's probably just because.
Look at his average, though. Look at his average approval rating.
Okay, let's go to the average real quick.
It was right there on the side.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Go back. We'll just stick on Wikipedia for now. But it was 49, I believe. Yeah, 49.1. That's one of the highest averages.
Well, I'll be damned. Okay, hold on 1 second, dude. This you just threw off my whole list here. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's talk about these presidents, dude. Top of these freaking guys. So what did Nixon do to you know, go that freaking low in a year? Hold on 1 second. Don't answer that. Then we have Truman. Then we have Carter, and we have G.W. Bush, you know, the second George Bush, mm-hmm. and then we have Trump. These are the lowest averages as far as I just looked at basically when their term ended. Okay, so that's a little bit different. Maybe I should have just done this right here and gone with the lowest ones with the averages here. But no matter, it's good because it gives us a little sample size to check out. That's all it does.
Well, you could cross check those presidents with who had the lowest overall average, right? And see, okay, well,
who had the lowest overall average?
Did they just have a bad ending of a good presidency, like Nixon?
Yeah.
Were they just bad presidents? Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, Google, just talked to us. That was weird. I just want to turn that off. So bad.
So Trump had a really low one. His average approval was 41 because he never really did anything to get independence support. He just catered to his bases.
Well, Trump, it looks like Trump is the lowest according to Wikipedia's averages here.
It's one of the lowest.
The second up surprising. Is Carter. Carter and then Truman are right behind each other.
Yep.
And so Carter and Truman were on the list. That's good. And then, Nixon was 49. So that's another one next up. And Obama was 47. But, okay, no matter. They are similar. I think Ford was 47 as well, looks like. So
right.
I could have added him to the list. Point is, Matthew, I want to talk about these presidents, dude. So Nixon.
Right.
What was his last year like?
His last year?
Yeah, what did he do? What is the atrocities that he committed?
So, well, during the 1972 campaign, he bugged the Democratic National Committee headquarters in the Watergate Hotel.
Yep.
So it was already bugged, right? And then they broke in to go replace one of the defective bugs.
You know what's funny to me? You see this story, and then and they're screwed. Watergate's done.
Yeah, someone was like, if you've ever seen Forrest Gump, Forrest Gump calls and says, "Yeah, I see some guys. They look like their power's out or something." You know, you see a bunch of guys with flashlights in the hotel rooms. Like, shut the curtains, dumbasses. But anyway, that's just funny. Like, that's basically what happened. An anonymous caller called the police and said, "I think there's some guys breaking into this hotel room," and ended up they were CIA agents. Oops.
I think it's funny how you can have this story that actually happened and it is a proven account of the facts.
Right.
And people will still argue with you that, you know, this random march we planned that no one showed up to and they all look like feds. They're not feds.
Uh-huh.
Or the Capitol, which I will never excuse someone for even walking into the Capitol unannounced or unwelcomed, even if they're let in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I'm saying they're stupid. They're stupid people. What are they doing? So I'm talking about the insurrection, of course, January or whatever. Still, I think it was way overblown and all that stuff too, of course. But they also had feds at their little, shindig. But, that'll be an argument too. Watergate happened, guys. That was a real thing to the audience listening that, you think that your government is here for you and only you and your safety. And that is just... unfortunately, not the case. So, Truman, why would you think he had a lower, approval rating? The Truman Show? No, I'm just kidding.
Probably for entering the Korean War.
Ah, another war. You know what? It's interesting because during that time period, I guess people didn't want war. But right now, there's memes about Biden's approval rating being low, so they're going to go to war. It's so interesting.
It's been a tactic for a long time.
Oh, of course. The
hundreds of years.
Industrial military complex. Military industrial complex.
Even before that.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
If, if someone's got low approval ratings domestically, they're liable to get in a fight to rally the country to fight another enemy.
To unify.
Right.
Is that really the only way we can unify? Come on, guys.
Not a good way to do it, but
it's a tactic that works. I understand that. But man, dude. Damn, that's what I was going to say. Carter.
Makes Putin the bad guy instead of
Biden. Oh, yeah. So what about Carter, dude? What are we thinking?
Stagflation, one word.
Okay, stagflation.
I mean, when wages are stagnant and inflation is skyrocketing, does sound familiar?
Oh, dude, see, Biden's going to be known for that.
He's going to be known for a lot more than
he's
that.
He's going to be he's, a lot more than that, but
way
this
worse
is...
than Carter. Carter at least had a...
econoflation.
A Middle East peace agreement, He at least had that.
At least,
Biden's not going to have... anything to his record.
Yeah. I still wonder, dude, why are they like, I just wonder why he was pushed into that position. It's so weird to me. We'll get to that though. So G.W. Bush.
Read my lips. Okay. No new taxes.
Done. Also, I thought maybe it was because of the tax hike. 2001. I thought it was because of Iraq.
George W. Bush. H.W. Bush.
No, but this is George W. Bush.
Oh, George W. Bush.
Yeah,
oh,
H.W. Okay. actually had a good average.
That's why he didn't get reelected, though. No, he was a fantastic president.
Right.
Probably one of the best prepared people to be apparently president of all time. Oh, yeah, W. Bush. Oh, dude.
Okay.
It was the 2008 housing crisis. It was the surge in Iraq.
Yeah.
It was.
And I noticed that it happened after his first term. Like, his first term was okay, and then, like, it just,
his first
like,
term was
plummeted.
Like, decent. His second term was dismal. Second term curse is what they call it sometimes. Yeah. Like,
and you think about Cheney, Dick Cheney, Contra, running everything behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So is it really his fault?
I think he was a freaking puppet master. Here's the deal. Yeah. Like, a lot of the war hawkish stuff definitely was Cheney's fault, for sure. And I think that No Child Left Behind, that was Bush's whole thing. Like, that's what he wanted to do when he was running. When he was running, he was like, I'm going on education. This is when he ran. That's what got him elected president. It was,
yeah.
It was federalizing and getting a new curriculum in education. No Child Left Behind, all that bullshit. And it turned out to be a horrible policy.
Yeah.
Mass testing and all that. And, his whole like, oh, it's my main thing I'm known for, just was crap. So
okay, wow.
He's not a very good president.
Well, okay, then we have Trump. Now, so, Trump is only because, I will say, this is my opinion on why his approval ratings were so low. It's because he did not work at having a relationship with the country, in my opinion. So he was polarizing. Right. Does that make sense? So,
yep, I agree.
You know, yeah, he had awesome policy. I just don't know if it worked well for everyone, and it didn't.
He never catered to anyone besides his base. He never catered to anyone besides his base.
Right, right.
And another thing is, too, it's a pro and a con in some ways. He was unapologetic. He never apologized. He never backed down. He's always right, always 100%, always moving forward. And
well, I think that has to do with him being a businessman as much as he is.
Yeah, of course. You never admit fault. That's just
he just goes for it. And,
right.
You know, he made a lot of deals for us that were good that have now been destroyed. But I'm saying he made a lot of deals for us that were good as far as overseas and foreign policy was awesome.
Yeah, his foreign policy was
even deals in the country were okay. You know, intelligence agencies didn't like him. And that actually is a plus to me because that means that he's doing something right. In my opinion, you know, of course, I only have one example, which is Kennedy, right? The only other example I have is him, and he was going to go against him, and they were like, it just shows how bad the country is. Whatever. It doesn't matter. That's why I think Trump, that's why I don't want Trump necessarily to be president again. But here's the caveat to that is if there's no one else that's going to run, you know, then yes, we need that because there's not another Democrat that I can think of that I would be okay with as a president. Think about a Clinton. Think about a Clinton running again, right?
Hillary wouldn't be a horrible president, I don't think.
Would not be?
No.
Okay.
I think she'd be a bad president. Don't get me wrong.
But not Biden.
She's a she-devil, but...
Right. But not a Biden,
dude, no.
Okay.
She could at least manage the federal government.
But
Biden doesn't even know what he's doing.
The Democrat woman version of Trump. That's what I think she is. The way she is, dude, it's weird.
She's ruthless.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Sure. And I think she'd get
but
up there
politician
and her base would be like, bow, bow, bow.
Every politician's and ruthless.
But she wouldn't try to make a relationship with America. She would just freaking cater to her base. That's what I think. You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Because she's Democratic?
I think she would try and be America's grandma.
Well, okay, but if people are talking about this, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Her running again and doing it. Yeah,
I think she should. If I was her, I definitely would.
But there are some Democrat like
politically speaking, I think she's got a real shot if she wanted to run again.
Well, of course she does.
Do I want her to be president? No, of course
who
not.
Who doesn't have a shot right now in the Democratic Party?
Kamala Harris?
No, of course not. Who's not in the administration and doesn't have a shot? Literally, like I could walk up and say I'm a Democrat. I want to run. And they'd
like,
be like
better.
Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how it is right now, dude. You know, I would not be opposed, but I just don't want to be labeled as a Democrat. I honestly don't want to be labeled as a Republican, so
yeah,
I don't know
right?
what to tell you, dude. These days.
Yeah.
So, talking about all this stuff really gets me going, but also, I want to talk about Biden's last year and, you know, how atrocious it was.
Yes.
I don't know. Oh, dude, you said the whole freaking, you're going to pick up feces or whatever, that article.
I'm going to pick up feces.
You said, it was something, dude.
Let me do two articles real quick.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me do two
real quick, because one's going to, because we don't talk about the virus anymore. We just don't. But I want to do one quick thing about the virus.
Well, we can, about okay, hold on a second, though. I was over it for 2021.
But
I'm refreshed, bro. Let's get back in, dude.
Okay, so there's two things I don't want to say because of YouTube, right? Because they will
listen to us.
It's the V word and the other V word.
Here's what I'll do.
The C word and the V word.
No, dude, I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm not doing that.
What?
This is a podcast first. We will say what we want to say, and we'll be honest on this podcast. But story.
The thing is,
I get it, but here's what I can do. I can just cut that out and I'll do clips or something, dude. It doesn't matter, man. I'm tired of worrying about the YouTube gods. This is stupid, man.
Oh, dude. Anyway, stupid. So here's this article. It's from New York Post. A lot of people are reporting on it, though. A 31-year-old father has been removed from the heart transplant list at a Boston hospital because he is refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
That's bullshit, dude.
And they're saying it's because, oh, he's got a better chance of living afterwards. And it, obviously, you have basically absolutely no immune system after any kind of organ transplant. So you're going to be extremely immunocompromised.
Well, what I want to know is what are his comorbidities besides needing a heart transplant? Is he overweight?
No, he's a healthy looking dude. Other than having fluid in
his heart and lungs. What he has. Does he have asthma? Like, I want to know these things, you know, about him.
So here's the deal. There's a small risk of myocarditis from the vaccine.
Small?
Yeah, it's pretty damn small. And myocarditis is very temporary. But for this guy, what are you getting?
Okay, all right. Huh? I didn't think it was small, dude. Like,
it's incredibly small.
In below 18-year-olds, it's like happening a lot.
Well, anecdotally a lot, but statistically not a lot.
Well, neither is the freaking...
What?
Neither is COVID, if you want to talk about statistically not a lot. I mean... The survivor rate's what, 99.7 or some crap? It's enough. Like, myocarditis is enough for me to worry about getting a vaccine. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I have bad reactions to vaccines, so that's why I'm not getting
You are immunocompromised.
Yeah, and I'm immunocompromised.
Dude, and that's whatever, dude. Keep going.
I actually had a doctor appointment today, and my doctor asked me if I had the vaccine. I said no, and he moved on to the next question.
He did?
No, yeah, didn't even bat an eye. And he's a great doctor.
Well, apparently.
He's been my doctor for a long time.
Can you say his name?
Yeah, Dr. Shelton.
Dr. Shelton, shout out from the Toasty Podcast. Thanks for keeping my co-host healthy.
Alive, yeah. but yeah, he's fantastic. But, I mean, it's not like I'm not at huge risk. I'm very healthy. I have my disease is very managed. So.
Sure.
But that's just what I just wanted to say. Like,
looks sexy as ever.
If we are on that path. I was listening to WBAP today, 820.
Oh gosh.
And
Local Fort Worth.
Gosh, what is Rick? I'll think of his last name in a second, but Rick was on today and he had a guest on and not a guest, but a call in. And the call in was an anesthesiologist for over 20 years, was close to retirement.
Oh.
He was like, COVID is absolutely absurd. All of the misinformation, all of the all the information you're not getting is crazy.
Right.
Uh-huh. He said a great reference is Robert Kennedy Jr.'s book. He said it's a 400-page book. The first 100 pages are about how much of a liar Fauci is and how much of a fraud he is. First 100 pages.
Right. When was it written? You know when it came out? Do you know?
I want to say the end of last year, end of 2021.
Oh, so he wrote it recently. It's pretty a recent book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And what's it called? You know, Robert Kennedy
Jr. book.
Okay.
Book on Fauci. There it is.
Cool. It should. Yeah, of course it comes up. Real Anthony Fauci.
Yeah,
dude, that's what it's called. So it's The Real Anthony Fauci.
Yep, he recommended that book.
Huh.
Big Pharma and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. And the last 300 pages, are about how Big Pharma and big public health and big government are all colluding to make you sick, make you better, make you subservient. Make you basically Just a pawn. Just
a lemming. So yeah, you can just right. you can just move on. You can just go with them. 1984. No, I totally agree. It's just it's interesting how many people have to come forward and say that for it in order for it to be received.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan has said these things. Joe Rogan has talked about these things.
Right.
And he has 11 million freaking listeners versus CNN's whatever. And two million and a half
if they're lucky.
Right. And it's interesting.
For real. That's crazy.
No matter what, you know, it's still maybe it's not received. But I think that people are coming around.
Definitely coming around. Look at Barry Weiss. She was a New York Times columnist and, you know, a lefty. She still is a lefty. She wants public health care. But she's like, COVID is over. It is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, I was sanitizing my mail at the beginning of this. And now I don't wear a mask. I don't social distance.
Sanitizing my mail at the beginning of this. It's funny, dude.
My stepdad's a doctor.
Right.
A physician. A personal physician.
Yeah.
And he was sanitizing his mail.
Oh.
Right? But the thing is, if doctors are that scared, where are they getting their information from?
Well, Fauci.
Right. Think about that.
That's what they're supposed to. Okay.
And then what happens is he scares all of his patients. And then all of his patients scare their families.
The fear
spreads like wildfire.
But you have to understand, like, for decades, the NIH and Dr. Fauci, literally for decades, have been that go-to info source. When a doctor wants to know what he's going to tell his patients, the NIH is the first thing he can look at that's national. He knows it's good.
Yeah.
Okay. That all changed whenever the collusion happened, as soon as 4 days after the lab leak.
Right.
We already know. We've seen the emails. From Fauci. We know what actually happened.
No one even cares.
And it's very interesting. Yeah, no one cares. You're right.
The head of the not the NIH, but Fauci's boss that just retired recently, literally was talking about the lab leak theory being viable in December.
No, I know. Yeah, we're talking about them talking about this at the December 2019 or something like
I'm
that.
I'm talking
this is
about
like November 2019.
I'm talking
whatever.
About a month ago. I'm talking about last month.
Oh, yeah. Well, now he's talking about it being viable. Yeah, of course.
No. He was saying the wet market theory is still like his theory.
Oh.
He's not saying lab leak anymore. He's saying it was a natural progression from bat to human. Yeah.
The zoology theory, essentially, is what they call
it. Yeah, yeah.
That's
pseudoscience,
that's so
and it's, he's a fraud. I mean,
because here's the deal. Like, there's, like, a partial truth there that they can get the virus from a bat.
They did get it from a bat, but then they manipulated
it. No, I know. Then they actually do gain a function, and it's like...
Exactly.
You can't tell me... It's interesting. All that stuff is very interesting.
Brett Baer had a really good timeline. Like, look it up on either FoxNews.com or YouTube, but Baer had a fantastic timeline.
Of what happened. The account of events. Now, people, here's the deal. When are
shocking.
Are we ever going to get to the point where we have an account of the truth, you know, just to know what happened? Because here's the thing.
Never.
Here's the thing. There are scientists now saying it doesn't really matter what happened. We need to figure out how to
move forward, figure it out
for the future and prevent it again. And I'm like, hold on a second, because I don't think you can properly defend unless you know history.
Exactly.
Well, think about war.
Those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it.
Oh, man, imagine that. So if you keep thinking that it's zoology, but like it's just so weird to me. How are they? They can't be in a lab and be real scientists. And be testing
on
viruses and actually test it off of a zoology theory when they know for a fact, when they look at this virus, it wouldn't work anyway. So I'm thinking, like, what are they doing? Double facing it, like two-facing it, like telling the public one thing and then doing their science
100%
the other direction. And, yep.
and
it's
and they're talking to their fellow scientists, quote-unquote, right. and saying, this is the narrative we got to stick to.
And if all this stuff we're seeing about the collusion was true, it is true. Based on these emails from Fauci, and if they proved it in court, then that would show me, you know, there's probably more to be found. And I've said this before, dude. I've talked about ADT, and that was the first drug that I looked into Fauci, and I found that drug, and it was the first drug that he did this on, where he colluded. He prevented it from being on market so he could patent his own drugs. Different scenario for him for money.
Yep.
After I saw that, and that was in the 80s. After I read about that, I was like, well, holy crap. You know, I don't know.
Just another little anecdote of doctors being in the pocket of Big Pharma. Obviously, there's the opioid epidemic. That's a pretty clear one. But there's another one that's pretty subtle, and that's just normal, quote-unquote, vaccines. Like, Candace Owens mentioned this, and she said that when her baby was born, the doctor was like, oh, you know, he needs his hepatitis vaccine. That's a sexually transmitted disease. Babies don't get hepatitis C. They just don't, you know, unless it's like a blood transfusion or something like really
right.
drastic. And she comes to find out the doctor gets paid $90 for every single hep C vaccine he gives a baby. Or Whoa. any patient.
Well, by who? By who pays him, I wonder.
Whoever that manufactures
okay.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
They bill the insurance for $280
right.
per vaccine or whatever. Pay the doctor right. $90.
Yeah.
Manufacture the vaccine for $5 probably.
I mean, it's just so weird to me that that's even legal. Like it's right. it's a huge conflict of
now
interest,
that's,
isn't
that's
it?
Absolutely 100%. Now that's the thing is you got to have a doctor you can trust. And the thing is our system of medicine, this is the last thing I'll say about it and we'll move on. But our system of medicine is it's two half and half. The lobby the medical lobbyists are way too powerful. We've got to obviously in lobbying because that's ridiculous. And then on the same token, the other half, so one half of our medical system is totally privatized. And then the other half is totally like subsidized. Mm-hmm. And if you have a half and half system like that, it's just not going to work. It's going to be mismatched and failures and miscommunications. And does Medicaid cover this or is this going to be a private insurance? And it gets really convoluted and really confusing. If you just got rid of the public half, it would clear itself up so fast. Yes,
just
exactly.
Just to clarify.
But so we'll digress from that.
I totally agree with you, dude. I think that's just a big problem, and I don't know when it comes to a head, you know. But we'll see. Because I think it will. I think people. I mean, a lot of people I know are catching on to the fact that the healthcare system sucks. You know. So anyway, back to this freaking Biden thing. Let's turn this back around.
Wait,
so
let me get to that other article.
Oh, that wasn't it. Oh, by the way, why didn't the guy just get a pig heart? Because that happened recently.
Good
you know.
Question. Yeah, that was true. It was a modified pig heart. But
it
anyway,
was modified.
So,
yeah.
This is from the Philly Voice. This is just to lighten things up, and then we'll get into the first year of Biden. This is we're not going to have to expand too much on this. Oh God. Okay. So from Philly Voice, the headline is: Woman falls ill after exposure to monkeys at Pennsylvania crash site. There were supposedly infected monkeys. Lab monkeys.
With what, AIDS?
I don't think so.
I'm kidding.
A woman who offered assistance at the scene of a truck crash involving captive lab monkeys in rural Pennsylvania says she has fallen ill after being exposed to the animal's feces and saliva.
What the heck?
A wild incident unfolded Friday afternoon in Danville, where a truck carrying 100 monkeys collided with a dump truck, spilling the animals onto Route 54 near I-80 in Montour County. Four monkeys escaped from their crates. One was corralled at the scene. Three others became the subjects of lengthy search by Pennsylvania State Police and Pennsylvania
what
Game Commission.
What the heck?
And then they ended up killing them, killing the monkeys.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they were, what kind of monkeys were they? Long-tailed macaque monkeys. And
they're super aggressive.
Yeah, they probably were. Like they hissed at the lady, like, hold on,
I just don't understand why you're having macaw. Where are these macaw monkeys going? Are they endangered?
They're lab monkeys. No, not at all. They're lab monkeys. Oh, okay. to test whatever on. You know, apparently, I've heard reports that they were infected. This article doesn't say anything about them being infected, so I'm like, I don't know if that's true or not. But one of the long-tailed macaques hissed at her from inside a crate that fell onto the roadway, she said. Hissed at
okay, yeah, but think about what the heck happened to the monkeys just now.
Yeah.
They were flying all over the place,
monkeys.
Dude.
Yeah, I feel
they were like, they were probably hissing because they're like, holy freaking crap, what's going on? You know?
We just want to go back to Africa, bro.
Like, they're freaking out. Well, they're actually probably born in a lab, dude.
No. They're from Africa is what it says.
Well, sure. But I learned recently that, like lab rats and lab monkeys are a lot of them, they can get them from the wild, of course, but they start, like, they breed them in the lab as well.
Fallon said she initially was told there were cats inside the crates and offered to help with the cleanup, only to discover that she was surrounded by monkeys. Oh my God. That's terrifying. Don't go to Philadelphia ever. It's a horrible, horrible place. Anyway.
Philly!
So.
Oh, okay.
Man, dude, I just thought that weird, was a man. Weird, crazy that, article. I you was know, like, what?
What is a macaw monkey, dude? I'm going to look this
They're
up.
They're like probably like 40-pound monkeys. They're not like crazy big, but I mean, monkeys are, they can be very aggressive and mean. Long-tailed macaque.
Oh, dude, wait a second. Long-tailed macaque. Look at this, dude.
Yeah, I was say that could be.
That looks terrifying.
Yeah, that could be dangerous. I mean, have you ever seen a baboon's teeth?
Why was that a lab monkey?
I don't.
Why do you need that exotic of a monkey to be a lab? that's exotic as fuck, dude. It's not just a normal chimp.
Look at that monkey
dude.
Riding the bird. That's awesome.
Just use a chimp, bro.
Well, chimps are more expensive.
Are they? I thought there were just more of them.
And these are monkeys, not apes. Chimps are apes, so.
Okay, what's
Get
the
your
actual
facts
difference?
Straight, buddy.
No, I know, but that's actually you're giving me a revelation right now. Monkey and ape, what's the difference? Like straight up, is it just like muscle power
the
or like
genus? I don't know. I'm not
the penis size.
Probably. Can you imagine a silverback gorilla versus one of those little things?
All right, okay. Hey, never forget. Dicks out. All right. Anyway. Rest in peace, Harambe.
Harambe deserved to die.
Cool. Wow. Let's just keep going, bro.
Unpredictable animal.
Whoa.
Am I the only one that, like, has no sympathy for that thing? Like, what the heck?
No, I get it.
About to rip that poor child limb from limb.
Was it? Did you see it? Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I watched the video.
Nah, it was just skirting him around like a little ape.
Yeah, I would have brained that monkey so fast.
I get it. I get why it happened. I'm not saying that I defend the monkey. But also,
sounds like you're defending.
Well,
we know he's an ape. Okay, we're just apist. Okay, relax. We are prejudiced towards.
Well, I can't come back from that. So let's just keep going.
Those darn monkeys.
Let's continue. Holy shit! You don't speak for both of us. No, I'm just kidding. Okay,
I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about actual apes.
Yeah.
Don't equate it with what I think you're equating it
to.
No,
I'm not, dude. Actually, I wasn't.
This guy's racist.
Shit.
You see why I turned that around?
That's my priority line, and it's below my priority line, so.
Oh, jeez.
Shout out to the stream off. Anyway, okay, so Biden's first year, bro. The main thing I know is COVID because it's always in our face, but also, and I want to say, since we just established this and we were already talking about it, we'll just segue into this, the COVID portion of his presidency. I don't think that a lot of it is necessarily directly his fault.
No.
Because of the collusion with NIH and CDC and everything, right?
Yeah, I think a lot
the
of
the mandate thing.
I think it's the deep state's fault, really, when it comes down to it. They're really in charge, and they really, you know, F things up pretty hard. Now, one little fun tidbit. Let's see. January 26th. Sorry, not early January. Early into his presidency. 6 days. The Biden administration announces it will purchase, this is from Wikipedia, the Biden administration announces it will purchase 200 million COVID-19 vaccine doses from, guess who, Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, in addition to the prior order of 400 million. Why do they need that many vaccines?
So we have 334 million people in...
People, not just adults that are eligible for the vaccine.
No, people total in
right.
the U.S.
Yeah.
So let's just account 50% for adults.
That's enough for two doses for everybody. And then they're like, oh, we need boosters. We need boosters.
He did that early on. Is that what you're saying?
So they could buy more.
When was that? When was that second order? Did you see?
That second order was January 26th.
Of 2020?
Yeah.
Or 2021.
2021, sorry.
2021. Okay, 2021, he did that. He ordered more. I don't know. Maybe he was thinking we were going to help other countries. I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. Why are we buying vaccines for other countries?
Or a subsidy to Pfizer. I mean, you see Pfizer's the advertiser for, you know, the advertisements on news and stuff like that. But, okay, so that's one portion of the COVID thing that was just wrong. The vaccine mandates, that was a big no,
ooh, big
in my opinion.
Fail too,
it was an epic fail. Now, currently, we just have gotten word, like, he's, like, backing down on that kind of thing, which is great. But
so they're making it a non-emergency order.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. I think he already gave me the bad taste. I don't want that.
Well, when Starbucks says we're not going to mandate a vaccine, you know they lost.
I think, when did they say that?
Like last week.
Last week.
Yeah. Like right after the Supreme Court decision, they were like, Starbucks is no longer going to mandate a vaccine for its employees.
Well, because Starbucks also fights for like veterans and stuff, apparently. Yeah, well, I don't know how much they do
also
this,
donate
but they
to Planned
like,
Parenthood and a lot of Democrats. So.
I know that, dude. I know. There's one of their things, right? So I don't know if vaccine mandate equates for their other policies they go for.
Yeah.
Kind of like Neil Young and Joe in Spotify, you know? Spotify was like, you know what?
How ridiculous.
You're dumb, right? Yeah. Anyway, he backed out his letter, by the way.
Like, quiet.
He's not doing that.
Quiet down, Neil.
yeah, it was stupid. I don't know, man. I think that was the main thing I got, the takeaway I got from COVID. It wasn't much else, you know, the vaccine mandate specifically, because, you know, masks and things like that, like states were starting to do their own thing already.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were finally like, oh, we can't do this anymore. What's interesting to me is the lag that there still is. So California is still doing this stuff. And then Flint, Michigan. Have you heard that?
Mm-mm.
Heard about this? They indefinitely shut down their education, their schools for the district, for Flint.
Oh.
I don't know how many I don't know how many districts that is. I think maybe it's just one. It's a small town, right? I don't know how small it is.
Town.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I just know they shut down their stuff indefinitely. And guess what? It's all low income.
So Northam in Virginia, the newly elected governor of Virginia, just got sworn in on the 15th of January. He said that no school can have a mask mandate, no public school in the state at all, any age.
Right.
And now there's a school in, I can't remember which county, I want to say probably, I can't remember which county, but they have, the superintendent said that if you aren't going to wear a mask, you cannot come to this school. Like, totally defying the governor's order. And now there's like a standoff. They've had security guards at this school tell kids to go home if they're not wearing a mask. And these are like 8-year-old kids.
Yeah, but it's a public school, right? So that means it's government.
Right.
So I just don't understand 100%.
They're violating a governor's order. So he could send in the National Guard and be like, this little dinky jerk school security guard. It looks like a
twerp
is out of here.
Or he could just fire the person that's freaking...
The superintendent?
Couldn't he just...
No, they're not under... The superintendent's under local jurisdiction.
How do you do that? Can you impeach a superintendent? I wonder how that works.
I think so. It depends on the... It probably depends on the school district, whether they're appointed by a school board or whether
I guess every school district's different.
It's different, yeah. Or whether they're voted in or whatever. But
I just think right now, dude, locals need to rally around that stuff, especially schools, dude.
Yep.
Because I'm coming out. I'm trying to get this study together. Not myself. I'm getting studies together for people that are studying IQ during the pandemic and between, you know, infants even, and then teenagers, and then people, you know, using Zoom calls and stuff instead of education, basically comparing Zoom to a real education,
right,
and comparing to isolation. So like all three of those things that were the biggest deals of COVID and the pandemic,
right,
the biggest problems, in my opinion, with the whole thing, are causing issues big time. Mm. We're seeing that right now, you know, up to 20 points, 22 points specifically IQ differences in infants, dude. And so you're like, well, for how do they test IQ? I'm not going to talk about all that. I'll talk about it later, but the point is that that's a huge freaking deal.
I mean, I saw this one little anecdote of a kid looking through his like little scholastic book or whatever he had, and he drew masks on all the other little kids' faces because he said they looked weird without them. Like, what kind of psychological effects is that going to have long term?
Yeah, it's trauma.
Yeah.
So Biden, that was not necessarily direct from Biden, but that is a trickle down. You think psychological trickle down of what Biden did, because people are becoming more polarized. Now, you know, I talked about Trump earlier being not having a relationship with America and being too polarizing, but the fact is Biden is almost just the same.
Just as polarizing with his policies. That's the way Obama was, is he was like, my way or the highway, far left, liberal policies all day long, shove down your throat.
And he could give an amazing speech.
Exactly.
And he could be
He was a likable guy.
Super likable guy.
Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind having a beer with Obama.
Right.
I'd be arguing with him all day,
but
I could still probably have a beer with a guy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
Biden. I don't think I'd have the patience.
That.
I'd punch him right in the throat.
No, Biden is not too good.
Not making
that.
A threat on the president of the United States. I'm saying after he was done being president, I'd punch him in the throat. Anyway, let's get back on to let's get on this timeline here. So
yeah, COVID done. Knock that out. We know what's at. We know what happened there.
So January 20th, 2021. He's sworn in as the 46th president. His first executive orders, he gets out of the Paris Agreement. He rejoins the Paris Agreement that we got out of, which was a climate agreement that basically said that we are not going to produce as much fossil fuels and use that to power our plants, which is just ridiculous. World Health Organization, we rejoined that. Basically Chinese puppet organization. Repealing the 2017 travel bans. This is Trump's quote unquote Muslim travel ban, where he banned travel from, I think, like 11, it was majority Muslim countries, but it's like those are the countries where most of the terrorists come from. Like, they just happen to be majority Muslim. Like, actually there's like 60 countries in the world that are majority Muslim. I don't know if you know that, but a lot of countries in the world are majority Muslim.
Like, not just Middle East.
Right, yeah. And Africa and Asia. And, yeah, Islam is a pretty widespread religion, so.
Well, yeah, and if you read the Quran, that's what they're like, instructed.
It depends on your interpretation of the place. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Same with Christianity. It's, you're
correct.
You're supposed to spread the gospel.
It's similar that way.
Right. I mean, so they're.
Evangelists.
They're both Abrahamic religions, so, you know, they're cousin religions. So, anyway, he repealed that, which is obviously going to make us less safe, but it doesn't matter because the southern border is wide open, because he also stopped funding for the border wall.
Okay, so hold on. That border thing is a huge deal, too.
Right.
So.
And we'll get more into that as the year progresses.
Oh, my
let's just start off with he stops building the wall, and he basically is like, during the debates, at one point, he said that he was expecting them to, quote, surge to the border. I mean, what kind of signal does that send? Oh, that's the guy. If that guy becomes president, green light.
But isn't there historically a spike in immigration whenever there's a Democratic president?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's already happening, so he doesn't even have to say that, really. It's crazy that he did.
But he did, and a whole lot of other people said that. And a lot of people, all the Democrats were, raise your hand if you would give government health care to illegal immigrants. And all of them raised their hand like idiots.
Right.
How stupid. Anyway, so the last thing he does as far as executive orders is he revokes the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. And then a few months later, we'll get to that, but he actually greenlights the Nord Stream 2, I think it's Nord Stream 2 pipeline, mm-hmm. in going from Germany to Russia.
Yeah, not even in America.
Yeah, so they can have their pipeline from Russia to Germany, giving Russia a huge boost and making Germany more reliant on Russia instead of more reliant on us in Canada. So
that's interesting, though. That's actually a good, kind of a good move.
What?
Making Germany not as reliant on us.
Move.
Is that not good?
Germany is the piggy bank of the EU.
Oh, okay.
They've got to be on our side.
Okay, understood.
And, I mean,
historically
understood. Speaking, Germans aren't very.
I didn't really know what they could provide for. Yeah,
we need them on our side because they're an incredibly industrious and prosperous Western country with Western ideals for the most part.
Right.
So, real quick on the inauguration. This is a fun fact, and I love this. Donald Trump becomes the first outgoing president to boycott his successor's inauguration since Andrew Johnson in 1869.
Ugh. Jeez, dude.
Andrew Johnson was a total racist scumbag, too.
This timeline, bro, I mean, like, it's literally pinpointing. Holy crap, it pinpoints a lot, bro.
So he
rejoins the Paris Agreement. Okay, great.
No, it's terrible, but...
Whatever. I agree it's terrible. But let's see.
I'm trying to just stick with what Biden did here.
The Senate passes the American Rescue Plan Act, President Biden's $1.9 trillion relief package in March. So that's something he did. The $1.9 trillion relief package for the stimulus.
Huh.
Big deal. It was a big deal. Pumping money into the system. So,
let's see.
Who now is.
Okay, let's see. I keep forgetting the IRS delayed tax day until May 17th. So about a month they delayed it. Okay, and March 18th through 19th, the U.S. and China hold talks in Alaska. I remember this. Hold talks in Alaska. That was when Secretary of State Blinken went and talked with his Chinese counterpart in Alaska. And got completely humiliated on the global stage and just sat there like a little bitch, making America look weak. They talked about Taiwanese security and Black Lives. This is ridiculous. This is Wikipedia's bias right here. The U.S. and China hold talks in Alaska to discuss relations with topics ranging from Taiwanese security to Black Lives Matter. No, China basically said we're a racist country in that, oh, you're going to bring up, if you bring up any of our human rights abuses, like how we enslave people and do forced abortions from the state, then we're going to bring up how you're racist. Guess where they got that from? The Democrats and Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
The most, like one of the most racist organizations in America.
They are giving, you know, they're giving them this, which they don't
a lot
really
of their
have
money is coming
this,
from
but...
George Soros in China. From
yeah.
BLM.
No, I know. I get
it's
it.
It's crazy.
They don't even have to look at a Marxist rule book.
Yeah. You
know, they just get it right there. That's
exactly.
It. Pretty easy.
It's pretty terrible. Why? There's a lot of the U.S. FDA approves so many. Like, why are they like, why is this a major event?
Right. Approves
year?
A random
there's
drug.
There's a lot of FDA. They approve this. They did this. They're our best friend.
Approves Abecma to treat multiple. Myeloma. What I mean is the first cell-based gene therapy approved by the FDA for the treatment of multiple. You know what this says to me? It's a gene therapy, which means it's mRNA, right?
Right.
Or maybe it's similar. I'm thinking like they got this mRNA thing going for the vaccine for COVID, and then they're just like, oh crap, we can do all these other things too, you know? Because they were already researching this stuff for a long time, so I feel like they're just. Using it as a gateway almost, which could be good. Could be a big deal in research, but not sure about all that. Biden unveils the infrastructure plan of $2 trillion March 31st.
Transgender discrimination. The state of Arkansas becomes the first state to ban surgery, hormones, and puberty blockers for transgender youths. Mm-hmm. You mean they're not going to allow you to mutilate children? Seems like a good idea to me. Doesn't seem like transgender discrimination. It seems like making sure kids don't change their bodies for the rest of their lives and cause irreparable harm before they're even old enough to make that kind of decision.
Hmm.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yes, it is. Woo!
April 9th, President Biden requests Congress to authorize a $1.5 trillion federal spending plan in 2022, which includes an emphasis on public health as well as major increase
in science and research funding.
Yep.
Now let's see where the freaking crap that goes, dude. And,
yeah.
Fauci and Peter Kirk, freaking, I think it's his name. I don't know, from Germany.
And here's another one that's just kind of ridiculous. The U.S. Health Ethics Committee announces that they have opened an investigation into Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida,
over sexual misconduct and
federal sex trafficking. Why not open up an investigation into Eric Swalwell for sleeping with a Chinese spy, Fang Fang? Why not do that? Because I'm pretty sure Matt Gaetz was completely exonerated. So, just ridiculous.
All right, we need to consolidate this to Biden only. I don't know if
I agree.
I don't know how it's so hard to find this list is awesome, but it's everything, dude. That happened.
Okay, on April 28th.
Like Lubbock votes to become largest city. Okay, whatever. Anyway, go ahead. Lubbock, Texas. Look at that. Well, who cares? That's not a big deal. April
28th. So, yeah, April
28th. Joe Biden's speech.
To a joint session of Congress on the eve of his 100th day in office, President Biden gives his first address in a joint session of Congress, encouraging them to pass a $4 trillion worth of spending bills, including the American Jobs Plan and the American Families Plan. Both part of his Build Back Better plan.
His 100th day, he's like, oh, crap. I haven't done anything that I said I would do in 100 days.
Yeah, except for those horrible executive orders that screwed, how many jobs did he just instantly kill? It was like 60,000 or something like that? With a stroke of a pen?
Uh-huh.
And made gas way more
so
expensive?
So that's a bullet point right there. The executive orders he signed immediately
are almost
where all this starts. Or they are. They are where all of this starts.
Two of them raise gas prices with a stroke of a pen.
Yeah, so gas price increase. Employees gone. You already have employees that aren't going to work. And then we have the most jobs available in America now, and no one's taking them. So, you know, it's interesting. It could be a good thing, though. Blessing in disguise. These people that aren't going to work are doing their own thing, you know, mm-hmm. and that's good. What's going to save the economy is that, for sure. Small businesses. But
if
they survive
the pandemic and everything that really resulted from it crushed small businesses, and Amazon's doubled in value, so
uh-huh.
It's just
so for the first half of the year, Biden is dealing with trying to spend and pump money into the system, and executive order caused gas prices to go up and cause a lot of job loss for those pipelines. So those are the big takeaways for me on the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, is there anything else you can think of besides the freaking COVID crap? But that was part of the spending. And so now you have IRS, you know, pumped full of money. Not IRS, sorry. The Fed pumped full of money, and we see where it went. Biden has created the biggest wealth gap because of that.
Right.
So he pumped a lot of money into the system, and naturally that's what happens. It's not necessarily, you know, directly related, but it is what happens. People that are wealthy can hold on to that money, and people that are not wealthy cannot hold on to that money. What ends up happening is this bigger wealth gap. So we have the biggest wealth gap we've had ever in history. Now, all within the year, as far as amount of money, and people with the amount of money.
Hmm.
So that's Biden. That's Biden. That's,
right.
That's a bullet point.
The G7 summit on June 9th, mm-hmm. he visited the UK for his first international trip as president. He signed the new Atlantic Charter with Boris Johnson, attends the 2021 Brussels summit with leaders of NATO, and meets with Vladimir Putin. Where he looks like a total, they don't mention how much of a little punk he looked like, because he goes, well, I gave him a list of 17 things he couldn't attack. Don't attack these most vulnerable things right here. Don't attack. This is what we don't want you to attack, okay? If you attack any of those, we'll be super pissed. Okay? Bye. Dude, don't give him that list. And then don't tell him you gave him a look. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Right. You're talking about things
would be better at talking to foreign leaders than he would.
You're talking about, like, things. So, like, agriculture or things like that. Or, like, our sub-whatever systems or whatever the heck you want to call it. Or
yeah,
our cyber
systems.
The
colonial pipeline attack.
Right. Okay. That's what you're talking about. Things like that. Cyber
like oil and gas infrastructure.
Right.
Cyber
okay.
attacks. Yeah.
That was like what his list was made up of. And he's like, don't attack these things.
Yep.
Right. He's giving them a list like, to do.
And
to,
it's like, okay,
attack.
Well, I'll attack the 18th thing on the list. Mm-hmm. Or I think it was a list of 16. And he was like, I'll attack the 17th list on the 17th thing that's not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be okay. Right. Because you only said these are the 16 things we don't want you to attack. But some shadow hackers over here are going to attack it for me, right? I mean,
right.
How dumb. It just doesn't make any sense, you know.
That just tells me, you know, it's all the more reason for us to have, anyone really to have a VPN.
100%, yeah. Don't trust it. Have backup power, have VPN, get a generator. Ugh, gosh. I mean, this president's just made us more vulnerable.
It's not really Biden, but speaking of power, you know, the big freeze happened. So that was something.
Right.
We're learning a lot about ERCOT and federal relations.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was just really embarrassing on the international stage. One of the many, many embarrassing moments we've had. So,
Juneteenth became an official federal holiday.
Yep. Trump wanted to do the same thing, so you can't really give Biden too much credit. I don't know why Trump didn't make Juneteenth a national holiday. I don't know why it is a national holiday. It should be a state holiday, if anything. It is a state holiday in Texas, has been since the 80s. But it's like, it's such a, like, a
it's weird... specifically to do with Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not necessarily like...
It's like a small group of slaves in Houston learned that they had become free, like, several months... I think it was... I can't remember.
2 weeks?
Well, yeah, was yeah it, I think like it was two weeks the guy, after the yeah. end of the Civil War.
Yeah.
Because, you know, word just travels slowly. There's no
yeah, sure.
telephones or internet sure. or anything.
Yeah.
So...
It's like people don't, the Alamo, or like if you have a date for, you know, when the Alamo happened, you do, but whatever. That's not a federal holiday, you know, like you don't right. have that as a federal holiday. Yeah, that's it's Texas. That's a Texas like our thing, you know? Yeah. And yeah, I think that I'm not trying to say like I'm offended. Not offended that it's a federal holiday.
No, but 9 out of 10 Americans could not tell you what Juneteenth is. They couldn't tell you at all.
Right.
They'd be like, it's Black Freedom Day. Like
9 out of 10, that's hilarious.
No, it's not.
19, yeah. Anyway,
yeah. So
no, I agree, man. I totally agree with you, dude. Totally agree.
So yeah, infrastructure
bill,
June 24th.
Yep.
Joe Biden reaches a bipartisan.
I was just gonna read that. Look at that. What a connection. What? Touching tips. All right, dude. I get it, but the thing is that his infrastructure bill was pretty much stripped. By that point,
it was, yeah, I mean, it was.
It was still like, I'm going to spend all this money, but like, it wasn't as much. A lot of things were taken out, you know, and the Senate was, I mean, like, dude, come on, man. It's just funny how that works. You know, I think a lot of politicians do that. So I think that's kind of common among presidents. It's not just Biden, but they'll bring a bill up and then it will be, you know, this big speech about it and everyone's behind it. And then. You know, America's behind it. They love it or whatever. And then through the process, it's taken down to nothing. And then it gets passed. So he looks good. But nothing in it was actually passed.
Right. Nothing. Funny. Yeah, exactly. It's just.
Just more spending. Just more. It's usually just more spending.
Exactly. And it's driving up inflation. And now the Fed has basically said they're going to.
They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what the freaking crap.
They're about to hike rates.
Yeah, they are. But in order to do it right, it's like 50 basis points. There's no way, and that would be insane. No one's seen 50. They can't do it. Even if they hike rates as much as they think they're going to, it's not going. I don't think it'll do that much. And yep. I think, you know, they're behind. We're too far behind on that.
Yeah, they're about a year late.
Right.
They knew what was going to happen with all the spending. They should have got out ahead of it. But of course, it's the Fed. They're just useless. Useless. Abolish the Fed, abolish the IRS. Come on. Get with it, guys.
Well, they can't because the Fed isn't even a government agency.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's sad. No, they're totally unrelated.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have
yeah.
anything to do with each other.
They're so unbiased, bro.
Except for Janet Yellen's now our Treasury Secretary. Whoops.
Bro,
whoops.
Come on, man. Let's make insider trading of politicians illegal.
Yeah, how about Congress... Can't trade stocks.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. yeah. No politician, no congressman yep. can trade
I am
on these things.
All
dude.
For that. But what about congressmen and their free speech?
What I'll say is
no.
I won't say they can't trade at all. Themselves they cannot trade. I think they should be allowed to have a financial manager, but they can't know
Nancy
what's happening.
Nancy Pelosi has a financial manager that she's blind. It's a blind thing, which is BS.
There's no way. But that's what I'm saying. It's not true. Like, you can investigate someone and figure out if it's actually blind and be like, dude, you can't do that.
I just think there's too many workarounds.
SEC knows what
I don't think Congress people should.
Well, because
I don't get $170,000 a year salary. That's plenty.
No, dude. I think people should be. That's you're cutting into a free market system. I don't think that they shouldn't be allowed to trade necessarily, but there's definitely. You can't have insider trade. They know it's happening and they can see it happen. That's
but
my
the
point.
Thing is, it doesn't.
It's not even that it's like hidden.
But it doesn't matter because. All they have to do is text their guy and say, hey, this bill's going to pass. Done. That's it.
Yeah, I just, there's got to be a way, right? So I think that
they cannot be allowed to own or they can be allowed to own stocks. They cannot be allowed to trade anything while they're in office. Well, and you know what? That'll also
in order
help
to own
with,
them. You have to buy them.
That'll help with people being career politicians because they're in it because they make all the right connections and they make all those insider deals. And then they get rich off being a public servant. That's not right. If you're a public servant, you should be a public servant for less than a decade. Because the most you should be a public
doing,
servant,
yeah, right,
is you know 8 to 12 years tops.
So I can kind of see where you're
eight if you're
from.
President, 12 if you're two-term senator, and then if you're a two-term senator, that's a lot.
I don't know if I can get behind this, but I can see where you're coming from. Because here's the thing, you're right, dude. If you get rid of incentives, you get rid of that weird thing, the atmosphere.
Then all
when
be
they become a congressman.
On. Is
then they're public servants
solving problems.
We would have less congressmen, honestly. Maybe they wouldn't be in there at 98 freaking years old, and they would get the heck out.
Of course.
No, I think maybe you're right about that, but I do think there has to be, like, I don't think you should be able to just bar them completely. I just don't know how you would be able to do it. Like you said, they can own stocks. Well, in order to own a stock, right, you got to buy it. But I'm wondering,
well, they can own a stock before they get elected. Like,
so, like, all the stocks
I
own
stocks right now. If I get elected next year.
Yeah, but you can't, dude, what if the market changes and they're screwed? They lose millions because they had stocks when they got into office.
I said they can't buy stocks. They didn't say they couldn't sell them.
Well, isn't that trading stocks? Like, I'm thinking you can't, there's not a good way to regulate that.
But at the same time, they're going to know if something's about to crash.
And they can sell. That's what I'm saying. But also, they might know, but also if they're good or they have a good financial freaking planner, he might be like, hey, we need to sell. Looks like all the stuff leads to, like, any freaking average Joe right now before 2021 happened was like, yeah, this is about to get wild.
Yeah.
Or when he signed those executive orders. You know, economy's going down, dude. There's got to be a way to do it. I agree that they would definitely cut out incentives if they didn't have the ability to do so, but I don't know how you regulate that. Maybe you're right. Maybe this is it. You just can't trade at all. But in that case, I don't think they should also be allowed to own stocks. Or maybe they can before, but it's their loss. Sorry, you lost millions because you had stocks before you went in. But there's a way around that too. They can put it in a trust and give it to their family. But then they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry, man.
No,
that,
no, you're good.
But that part, man, whew, man. I don't know. That's a good topic. Getting toasty with stocks. Was that Creed? Getting toasty with toes wide open. Getting toasty all night.
Oh, no.
Sorry, listeners.
Man, apologies. I'm trying to find exactly when the withdrawal from Afghanistan happened. Because it was in, I thought, when was
August?
I thought it was in August. Let's see. Ooh. August 9th, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin announces that all service members will be required to get vaccinated by mid-September. And a lot of people got kicked out of the military for that, which sucks. But at the same time, if you're in the military, they own you, and they can tell you to get whatever vaccine they want you to get. So that's that, in my opinion. If you're in the military, they can tell you to do whatever.
Yeah, you
have no rights if you're in the military, basically.
And you gave that up.
Yeah.
You chose it.
Yep.
See, there's a difference in me signing something that says, okay, here you go. Like when I go to a website and I say, allow all cookies, I'm doing that. That's me. Now that website can track me if I do allow all cookies or if I don't, whatever. But when they say you have to do something and they don't sign or they don't get an agreement, they don't own me, like the government versus citizens, that's different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. There's something to be said about that. When you sign up for the military, you are giving away a lot, or if not all, your rights, for sure. So think about that, kids, when you see the next Army recruitment video ad on the billboards or on your TV telling you the Army's great. Join the Army.
So you know what's interesting about this is they start with August 14th, as far as Afghanistan goes. And the first thing they say, as far as I can find, is President Biden authorizes 5,000 U.S. troops to be deployed in Afghanistan. as the Taliban seize all regional capitals except Kabul. So the thing is, gosh, I hate Wikipedia sometimes. He deploys 5,000 troops, yes, but they're just sitting in one spot. They're not going across the country, making sure that we're not losing territory and that Afghan regional governments, as you know, shaky as they are still in place. He sends a bunch of troops over, basically as a gesture to make it look slightly better. That's about it. Yeah, the Taliban seize all regional capitals except Kabul. And, let's see. Man. And then they don't talk about, they don't talk about Afghanistan at all and the withdrawal. That's it. But, I can tell you about it.
Well, tell us about it, man.
So,
please.
We start pulling our troops out of those regional areas, and they get taken over very, very rapidly.
Try to concise that shit, yeah.
Very, very, like, much more rapidly than anyone saw coming, mm-hmm. really. Honestly, I kind of saw it coming, because the Taliban have been biding their time for 20 years. Well, for about 15 years now, the Taliban have just been like, you know what? We're not going to beat these guys in, you know, playing at their own game,
right?
Military,
right.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. in a military, you know, firefight, they're obviously way better than us. We're cavemen compared to them, literally. And they basically made the decision to lie low,
right?
Buy their time, lie low, regroup, mm-hmm. and stay organized. And they did a great job, the Taliban, of staying organized and staying on top of things. And as soon as the, as soon as the presence of U.S. troops started to go down, then they saw that. They recognized that. And, of course, Biden just announced what he was going to do way in advance. And they saw it coming, and they swooped right in and took it right back
over. It's
pretty
simple. With this whole thing is that news was happening so quickly on it that Americans, simpletons, people that don't even care, could watch the news or anything online and read an article that was updated so quickly that we knew full well what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
There was no delay there. It wasn't like they have weapons of mass destruction and no one can look into it, and then later we find out, holy crap, it was all a big lie. There was none of that. It was literally real time. We're like, Biden, what are you doing? Because we can also see the strategy here. It was interesting. And I think that, to me, was a big, just neon sign to how, first of all, information is flowing now. And two, for how the media is doing stuff.
Can you, real quick, can you go to early April? On that timeline? So when is that summit that Biden goes to?
I think it was 17 Europe. Or 7th, wasn't it? Looking, 17, was it? No. Summit, was it in April?
May have been before.
I thought you said June. It was June 7th, dude. Hold on. Going to June. June 7th, wasn't it? No, visits Guatemala.
Yeah, June
9th. Oh, June 9th. There it is.
Okay, so.
Jeez, dude.
3 weeks before that, on April 14th, 2021, NATO Secretary General, I think it's Jens. I'm going to say Jens. Jens Stoltenberg said the alliance had agreed to start withdrawing its troops from Afghanistan by May 1st. Who do you think he had a phone call with before that? And then 3 weeks later, they have that summit and really organize their withdrawal from Afghanistan. Soon after the withdrawal of NATO troops started, the Taliban launched an offensive against the Afghan government, quickly advancing in front of collapsing Afghan government forces.
I mean, yeah, they were planning this thing for a while, right? Like, even Trump was planning this.
A dozen years.
Like, a lot of this pullout, like, Trump had planned a lot of this already.
Yeah.
So, and this was just happening.
It was going to be slow, and there was probably going to be a residual force left over there.
Right.
Because Trump wanted to pull out, and his general said, no, if you pull out, the Taliban will take over instantly, and we'll look ridiculous.
And then they say the exact same thing to Biden.
Yeah. And Trump was like, oh, okay, I'll listen to you, and I won't pull out of Afghanistan. Because he wanted to do that. He was like, we need to end the war in Afghanistan and get the hell out of there. What are we doing there? But he was like, no, we'll leave a residual force. South Korea, Germany, mm-hmm. Japan, Guam. We have troops everywhere in the world. Why not leave 2,000 troops in Afghanistan?
Right. Also, they get rotated out. So I just want to make sure people know we're not just sticking people over there and saying see ya. It's obvious a rotation. You know, if you don't know the military, you should look into it. But if you're listening to this podcast, and you don't know the military,
right? You probably do.
You need to get toasted,
it's called a deployment. You're deployed for 6 months at a time, typically 6 to 9
and then
months
or so. You do a rotation, and a lot of times they'll have you be like, "You want to go back?" And you're like, "Nah, that place is a shithole." Like, you say what you want, you know. They may not listen. They may just do it anyway, honestly, because like we just said, you don't have rights when you're in the military. But this is planned for a long time. That's one of the biggest problems I think with this whole thing, this whole pullout thing was. They were planning on this for so long, years, dude, and the fact that we did it so abruptly, almost just so Biden could sit at a stand and say, we are now out of Afghanistan.
Yep.
That's it.
That was the whole reason.
All so we could just say that.
Yep.
And his approvals are still in the toilet.
They tanked and they're still going down. The Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan is what the Taliban are calling it.
Mm-hmm.
As what Wikipedia is calling it now, was swiftly restored as its opponents were defeated or left the country. Yep, the president, what was his name? It doesn't matter. He left like a coward,
right.
Just left instantly. Didn't even put up a fight or a speech or anything.
And we've talked about all this stuff before. We've had it on our podcast. We talked about it during the 9/11 segment. We went really deep on the Afghanistan pullout. And, when it's all said and done, it was just something that just was long overdue, but, whatever.
In a way, it was overdue, but in a way, it was just botched.
Well, no, it was completely botched. The whole thing was botched. Yes, exactly. I think from the very beginning, it just... whenever you build a relationship on lies, what does that relationship do? It goes nowhere, or it goes into a very toxic place, and you're either just stuck there forever and you can't get out, or, you end it. And what that says is kind of two-sided there. It says from the beginning we were lied to about 2001. In 2001, we were just, the whole thing was just seemed like a lie, or is a lie. And then next thing you know, we're in a relationship that's just non-functioning.
Right.
And here we are. But there was definitely a way to do it, and it wasn't done right.
Yeah, I don't think there was a way to do it.
You think so? Okay.
That's
so you think
I have to agree to disagree because I don't think there.
Then my analogy fits perfectly.
Yeah,
metaphor. What do you call that?
I think it's an analogy.
Analogy fits perfectly because at the end of the breakup, you can't. There's no easy way to break up with someone that is just toxic. There's no way for the relationship to just doesn't work, and but mutually, both of you will benefit from breaking up. But even still, you're going to break up with this person, and it is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. Maybe it's just no way out. That's good.
Yeah. But I also think that if we would have just left a residual force.
Yeah, it would have been fine, right?
The president of Afghanistan would still be the piece of crap president of Afghanistan.
Yeah. Hey, I still want to be friends.
Yeah, right?
Just kidding. All right.
So I think I'm going through October. And I'm just not seeing a whole lot of stuff that Biden really did.
He kind of backed off for a while.
Oh, he was. And plus, Wikipedia is just talking about the Trump Ukraine scandal. Like, what does this have to do with anything? That's not
it's not real.
An event at all. It's ridiculous. Oh, man. So on October 29th, the FDA announced that the COVID vaccine was safe, quote unquote, for children 5 through 11 years of age. That is insane to me.
Yep, I agree. It is insane. I think that, you know, there's still a way to hold tight or hold strong. I don't know what you call it. Whatever, dude. Just don't get the vaccine. There's a way not to. There's a way to not do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm not telling you what to do. I think that you should definitely talk to your doctor that you trust about it.
Right. Of course. And that's what you got to do is just be informed and,
right.
and find a, exactly, find a doctor that you actually trust.
And that is what we say for YouTube. So.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I can say there.
All I can say there, Bester.
But yeah, it looks like, I mean, that's pretty much it. So within half a year, see, that's what's interesting to me is that within half a year, Biden completely just tanked it.
Yeah.
And then he has the Afghanistan thing after the half a year, of course, you know, August, but I don't know if there's a president previously that has been able to do everything that fast, you know, and I think it all starts with those executive orders.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe there's some checks and balances that need to happen with executive orders. I'm not saying that just because of Biden's situation, because Trump also loved just throwing out the executive order, you know, just freaking psh, psh, executive order this, executive order Trump? That. Seemed like, yeah.
Yeah, Obama did a lot more.
Did he?
Uh-huh.
Hey, well, there, whatever, dude. Presidents are doing it right and left.
All the other presidents combined.
Is it okay? I mean, is it okay? Like, I don't know. There's got to be checks and balances
it's
on that.
It's not
right?
okay, but Congress abdicated their authority and abdicated their, what's the word I'm looking for?
Look, all I can say
power,
is
basically.
It's sad to me whenever your actual system has become so blocked and slow that you have to go to measures like executive orders to get things done. Isn't that why? Because Congress is so slow at doing anything, so they're just like, man, all right, let's just do executive orders.
Yeah, I think presidents can be frustrated like that. But at the same time,
that's kind of the point, though, right?
Because
yeah. you don't want a president to be able to just willy-nilly, you know, do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go to...
Interesting.
One thing I saw on there that was a little silly is Biden, just earlier this month, he said that we've created 6 million new jobs, and that's the most jobs any administration has ever created. It's like, okay, well, you didn't create them. They're not government jobs, right? Plus, those jobs were taken away by the government in the first place with the whole lockdown thing. Like, they're not new jobs. There's people going back to work. He's claiming
right,
those
right,
new
jobs. Right. It's not, like, the time frame is not there. So he's not saying new jobs within this whole year. He's saying, or 2 year, he's saying new jobs within this freaking month.
Yeah.
Oh, well, businesses are opening back up or whatever's happening or new businesses
yeah,
are
he was
opening.
Saying for the, he was saying for the year. So it's like.
Even for the year, dude. I don't care.
But that's the thing.
That's
is, yeah, businesses
bro.
Were all opening back up in 2021.
Right. This whole year has been a freaking ramp up from the absolute catastrophe of lockdowns.
Which means the economy should be picking back up. Like,
I know plenty of Democrats that didn't agree with the lockdown. Yeah. Plenty. It's not like it's some stupid polarizing political freaking, you know, partisan thing. Dude, no one liked that.
Yeah.
And if you did like it, you must just be a masochist. Isn't that the one that likes it?
Yeah, right.
Likes a beating? Dude, this is ridiculous, dude. You
and
can't.
The thing is, people like the ladies of The View, like, just recently said that they're afraid to go in public places without a mask.
That's just
and
trauma.
They're like triple vaxxed.
Right. That's like, not. My problem is that it's not.
Where's
like, I can't blame them. My problem is that I can't blame them for thinking that. Because of how they've been treated for the last 2 years.
Well,
and that's where I'll freaking blame the crap out of Biden for the psychological trauma that he's caused.
Yep.
This is continual. This isn't just going to stop.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so freaking worried about, like, you know, death rates going up because of suicide that has happened, or death, or freaking schizophrenia like diagnosis going up.
Uh huh.
But what?
Anxiety. People think and I'm crazy for off the, this off is the charts.
This is a mental disorder problem. And you people thought we had a mental disorder problem in America before because no one wanted to talk about it. We have more of one now because people are actually getting it and they're dying from it.
And not only that, people are blaming it on a virus. And
blame it on COVID.
Government policies.
Yes, right. Sorry, my supply chain is messed up. COVID.
Right.
No, dude. Not China.
Not Pete Buttigieg being on freaking gay paternity leave for 2 months.
Yes.
Like, my wife didn't even get 2 months maternity leave.
Right.
And this guy is still getting paid by us, the taxpayer, for sitting on his butt.
Yeah.
He's got two adopted kids.
Right.
He didn't push him out.
Yeah, and
suffered no physical trauma.
Right. And they're probably not even, I don't know how old they
are. Take a couple weeks off, get used to changing diapers, and get back to work, dude. You're pathetic. He's a pathetic little punk.
So how's being a dad, huh?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah? You're 8 months in now?
Yeah. He's 8 months tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Like, for real, what's it like? What's changed? Like, is it just like, oh my gosh?
Dude, everything changes. Everything changes. Yeah.
But you seem like a go with the flow type of guy.
Yeah, I definitely am.
Sierra is probably the girl that got changed.
Yeah, her life got turned upside down. But besides having a kid. It's great. Yeah, it's nothing but awesome. But what's crazy is I guess I'll just say a cool thing that kind of happened. So, whenever you have a kid, I feel like, I feel like your life kind of starts over. The best thing you ever experienced becomes oh yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool day. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And so, and then the scariest thing you've ever experienced was that was kind of scary that one time. Because there's all the things that can happen to your kid now, right?
Yeah, do you think that... Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that that's like a hormonal thing with humans? Because guys, I feel like that's probably more so with guys, what you're telling me right now. Like, all of a sudden, an actual, quote-unquote protective hormone. Hormones, released.
Yeah, there's
the first time ever.
Yeah, for sure. There's, a total shift. Because,
isn't that weird?
Yeah, and it's funny because, I've heard babies laugh and stuff and kids laugh. I'm like, oh, that's adorable, a kid laughing. But when you hear your own kid laugh, I'm not kidding when I say, I'm not even exaggerating.
You get giddy.
Every parent will tell you, when you hear your baby laugh, it's the best sound you've ever heard in your life.
Interesting.
You know, oh man, music on weed is so awesome. Oh, this is great. But when you hear your kid laugh, you're like, whoa. That's profound. It's crazy. It's funny. I love making my son laugh. He loves to laugh. He's a very happy kid. And we'll just tickle him and he'll laugh. And he loves it. He loves being tickled, which is great. Right when I was leaving to come to this podcast, Sierra was kind of playing with him a little bit. And I hadn't said bye to him yet. It's I ran from my car. I was like, I gotta go say bye to Wyoming real quick. So I ran back in. And then she was kind of playing with him a little bit. And I ran straight up to him, sprinted and just go, and just got him and he was just and he just starts busting out laughing.
Yeah,
the one of the loudest I've ever heard him laugh. And I was this is perfect. He loves the sneak attack. I was like, sneak attack from daddy. And he was like, this is awesome.
Oh, that's why you texted me.
Yeah, he wasn't scared. He was like, this is so fun, y'all are great. And at the end of him laughing hysterically, he goes that was a crazy time, you guys. He was
he's a happy kid, man.
At the end of a roller coaster or something, you get off, you're like, oh, man, that was intense. Tickle fight was so intense.
Something I could wish for any kid that young is to be able to remember that specific, how you feel and stuff in that moment, because you can't remember crap, right?
Right.
It would be so cool to be able, and I'm saying this right now knowing that it's probably some crazy technology that'll come out allowing you to do this, but it's actually demonic. Anyway, be careful what you wish for, but this specific thing, that'd be so cool to be able to do that, to hook this up and be like, hey, you can actually record someone's memories, freaking Black Mirror, and record the kids, and see them later or show them later, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that moment. It was literally the best moment of my freaking life because I had nothing to worry about.
Yeah, right?
You know? No bills, none of that crap.
It was
dude.
Funny. I set him down in his little chair that he usually eats in, and he knows that's his like eating chair. So he's like,
"Where's the food?
Where's
right?
The bottle?
Yeah,
right?"
Yeah.
And I set him down. The bottle was like 30 seconds away from being ready.
Yeah,
and he was just like. And I told Sierra, I was like, this must be the worst pain he's ever felt. Like, he's like, no one can experience more agony than
right.
this. I got to wait an extra 30 seconds for my bottle. Like, I might as well just end my life now. It's like, don't worry, buddy. There's a lot of suffering left in your life. Don't worry.
Oh, my God.
I told him that, and he was like.
Lockdowns and mental disorder.
Man. He's going to be raised on a farm. He's not going to be locked down at all.
Heck, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
He's
going
to have a real fun.
Yeah. Cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, there might be a lot of dads out there, and I don't know necessarily how to talk to them, you know?
There's a few dads out there, probably one or two.
The ones you actually know, but I'm saying that there could be more.
Yeah, I'm saying there's tons.
Wait, hold on. I'm saying as our listeners.
Yeah.
In the midst of our listeners, there's a few dads.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to, like, bring that type of entertainment into it.
Experiences.
They want to hear. I mean, I know for a fact everyone wants this. Not just for being a dad,
moms
but everyone
dads,
wants
yeah.
to hear things that relate to them so they can understand things too. Sometimes they don't have someone they want to go talk to about it.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or like they don't want to sound like a sensitive
a dad.
Sally guy
right.
saying it's the most profound thing they've ever heard
so
hearing
now,
their child laugh. It's like, okay. Save it for a Disney movie, bro. You know?
Yes, even though it's true, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it's cool to be on the podcast. Talking about things like that, being
right.
honest.
And it helps relate.
They can listen too and be like, oh, well, they didn't have to say it in front of their coworkers, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, in a shop, can you imagine?
Well, I mean, my coworkers
are
cool.
Gay. You know?
Yeah. Man, I was about to go into straight shop talk.
No, it doesn't matter. What I want to do, though, is I want to have more of those. Shop talk podcast.
Yeah, we should.
That'd be cool, man.
Those are actually
little
pretty
one-offs,
popular.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, so I can do one-off shop talk episodes. We'll have the political toast. By the way, this is your political toast, and then also Matt's history lesson, which that's what I want to do. I don't know what you want to call
you
it, but
I
Matt's history lesson.
We'll come up with a better title, but
dude, come on, man.
How long do you think the episode
or your
should
history
be?
Or something? Your toasty history, huh? What
toasty history? That's not bad.
I don't know, but it's gonna be in. It's not gonna be its own podcast yet. What I want to do is have the Toasty podcast and have segments happen. So they know that every Tuesday they're getting the Toasty podcast. Every Thursday they're getting Matt's history lesson.
Do you want that to be like an excerpt from the main podcast or do you want it to
be
its own thing?
What do you mean? I just said it's going to be on the main podcast page.
Okay, but it's its own show.
But the title will say, you know, Toasty with Matt and then bam, what the title is.
Ah.
And then ours will be your political toast, and then bam,
I like
the title.
I like your political toast for our show, and then Toasty History.
You want
cool.
another show?
Yeah.
Or are like, you saying?
Wait.
What are you saying? What are you saying? Tell me what you're saying.
So our show. So
you
we
want
have,
separate shows, or do you want them together? That's what I'm really asking.
How would they be together?
That's the question. It's just another episode of the show, but it has a podcast do that all the time.
Oh, I got you.
Happens
I
all the time
you.
because you want people that know the show to go to that show anyway.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to do it, you know, your own, totally your own show, you can. Not a big deal. Doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't.
Yeah.
It literally does not matter.
That's something I kind of want to think about now.
Yeah, think
because
about it.
I was thinking we have Toasty Creations, right? And that's the
right.
whole company, right? And then under that we have your political toast or the Toasty podcast, you know, same thing. And then also under that you have Toasty History as like a standalone 20-minute episode kind of a show. But it's still under Toasty Creations. So you would produce it.
No, I understand. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter either way to me.
So I'll say it's
up to you.
Six and one, half dozen the other.
It's
so.
Up to you completely. Because I'm getting a new podcast host that allows me to do all that stuff and unlimited episodes. I don't have to worry about any of that.
As long as it's like easy to find off like Spotify. You know what I mean?
That's where where
here's like the example. It's like Daily Wire has the Daily Wire, right? But under that they have Matt Walsh Show, Ben Shapiro Show,
Are they separate shows?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
But they're all under the Daily
but
Wire Productions.
Exactly. It'd be under Toasty Creations.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
I think that's a good way to do it.
Sweet. Well, guys, that's about it for today. And if you like the stash, go ahead and answer my poll on Twitter. If you don't like it, also answer. I want to know if I should keep it or not, you know? So I'm polling the audience.
I like it. I was this close to shaving my mustache, like yesterday, the day before. I was like, should I do it?
Yeah, but you've had it forever, right?
I know. I was like, Sierra was like, you can, I mean.
Does she like it or not?
She likes it.
She's impartial.
She's more indifferent.
Look, I'm just saying, dude. I polled the public audience, so I've asked 3 girls. That's enough for a statistic, right?
Yeah, sure.
They all said, nah. Every single one of them, dude. I'm like, what the? Are you kidding me? Not at all. Like, you don't think of, like, a sexy fireman
like
or
Tom Selleck?
Okay.
They probably go, who?
Yeah, I didn't say anything like that, bro. What? Sexy fireman? Like, I don't know. But they were like, well, I don't know. Maybe if you made it small, I'm like a Mexican? Like you want me to like...
No, like Vincent Price?
Vincent Price.
Just like a little like...
Maybe I'd like to have a little twirl.
Oh,
on the...
no. I don't think a Hitler stash would be bad though.
Nah, but...
Charlie Chaplin stash.
But then one of my buddies, Eric, he was like, no, you need handlebars, dude. I'm like... No, no.
You don't have enough
that's
of an
even
accent
more,
for handlebars.
Thank you. That's even more of a thing. Like, hell yeah, brother. Yeah. You know, like, grab onto my handlebars.
Just Hulk Hogan all day long.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And it's not me. And I was like, dude, that's a guy that's like super guy. That's like man's man. Like, right now, most guys say they like it. And there might be a few girls out there that say they like it.
Yeah.
But if I go handlebars... It's all guys. It's all dicks,
it's not,
dude.
It's not the guys you want to, you know, hang out with necessarily.
It's a sausage fest with handlebars, dude.
Yeah.
And the snap-on wrench tattooed on their arm.
They have that? I've never seen a guy
do that.
A snap-on wrench on their arm.
He's the guy. And he would also probably say, yes, Patriot! You know?
he would
sorry
say,
to
he would
all
say,
the
hell yeah, brother, and like actually be like, that's the thing I normally say.
Right, exactly.
Not like, hell yeah, yes, brother, this is funny.
Yeah, this is hilarious. Why, you know.
He's like serious. Like seriously,
I'm the guy.
Yeah,
so here's
brother.
The thing about that is what's funny is I'm the one that will say it ironically and funny, and then all of a sudden I'm saying it all the time.
Well, it can happen,
you know,
like that.
Flash forward to a week and I'm like, I'm saying this like constantly.
This has become
dude.
Me now.
You know, I'm just the guy. Oh, no, it's ironic. No, it's not.
That's how they all start. Like, Joe Biden probably started to, like, run for president ironically, and then next thing you know, he's like, oh, crap, I'm making decisions.
What the heck? No, dude, he was forced to. He was pushed to do
yeah,
that.
He was. Yeah, okay, one last thing. Today, his schedule, or maybe yesterday, Jen Psaki, the press secretary, was asked about his schedule, and she couldn't answer what he was doing for the day. She didn't. I don't know if she didn't know or there was nothing planned, but she couldn't answer with a straight answer what he was doing that day.
Okay, I don't understand. I get maybe one that's a big deal, but also...
And then there was footage of him later going out for ice cream and going to local shops in D.C.
Like
today? Looking... that came out today, I think, yeah. But he looked just like kind of lost, kind of wandering around. Secret Service is standing there like, what do we do? Like... How do we protect him from himself? Like, he's literally wandering from boutique to boutique, you know, talking to shopkeepers, trying to get out with the people of D.C. Come on, dude.
Come on, dude.
Come on, man. But it's sad. Like, he really is senile. He went out for ice cream, and Jen Psaki could have said, oh, he's going out to visit local businesses today. But instead, she was like, oh, he's having internal meetings and going over policy decisions, and it's kind of just a normal routine, boring day at the White House. Like, no. He was like, all right, Joe, go get some ice cream,
Joe. It might
be
for them, yeah. What's interesting to me is that, you know, if you see Dick Cheney and you see his story and you see what he was able to accomplish, it makes me think about what's being done behind Biden's back. That can actually happen. You know, everyone wants to say, like, well, no, he has to make the final decision, and I don't think that's true in his case.
He has to sign the paper.
Yeah.
And he'll sign it if it's in front of him and Ron Klain tells him his chief of staff, Ron Klain, tells him to sign it. He'll
yeah,
sign it.
Right, exactly.
Because he just doesn't.
Because he seems very
he trusts
senile.
Him. He trusts Ron Klain a lot because he was his chief of staff as vice president for 8 years. So he trusts him. He knows him. Ron Klain has a lot of experience in the White House, but, or I guess in the Naval Observatory, now the White House, but
people's incentives change.
Yeah.
Every single year.
And you know, the press was kind of throwing Ron Klain under the bus recently for some this or that, but Biden's standing by him. Like, he's not letting him go because he needs him. He needs that guy because that Ron Klain is loyal, and I think Biden is just like, I can't handle a stranger. Mm. I can't handle a new person in this position. So, but yeah, it's tough 3 years ahead of us. That's for sure.
I don't know about that, man. I think your prediction is going to come true. I think 2 years in, he's out. I think this year, if we don't have any more stupid crap happen from COVID, if it just keeps going up and up, and we just kind of smooth it all out, I think that they'll push for getting him out because he's not mentally capable.
Yeah, I think after the midterms.
Yeah,
if he makes it to the midterms, it'll be next January. And
Kamala
next
knows
spring.
She's done. She's been gone. She is. Where is she at? What does she do? I don't know. No one knows
if
what she does.
If she was smart, she would just stay quiet and lay low.
Well, that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening or watching if this video was on YouTube. We appreciate you for pressing play. If you haven't already, please subscribe to us on your podcast app and leave a review. All feedback is welcome as we get toasty in topics that aren't always discussed openly. And as always, stay toasty.